This episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download the Draft app now and be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD, Daily Fantasy Basketball Pod, when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. Today's episode is also brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a daily fantasy sports app that allows you to play in one-on-one fantasy contests. Use the promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. All right. Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts. In today's podcast, we'll be focusing on season-long fantasy leagues. We're going to be talking about the schedule. We're going to be answering some listener questions. And to help me to do that, I'm joined today by Daniel Green. Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here, man. What is going on? Very excited to do a season-long show. Could use a nice little respite from DFS, as the Clippers in DFS just crushed my soul tonight. So glad to do a season-long podcast tonight. Good to be here, man.
Good to hear your voice. It's been a little while.
Yes.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was good. I stayed in New York. I went upstate with a friend. I actually love staying in New York for Thanksgiving because it's one of the few times where New York is not crowded because everyone else leaves. Mm. Yeah, so it's actually like New York quiet is a cool place. It's young. You don't get to see it often. So, what about you? How was yours?
Did you eat some turkey?
Of course. What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe you've got some super cool new meat that you're eating up in New York. I don't know.
No. Same as everyone else.
I had Thanksgiving dinner in a refurbished 100-year-old barn with my family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. A barn.
Yeah, it was it's pretty cool, I guess. It was on my family's farm. It's a barn that's 100 or 150 years old. But they've refurbished it and made it a nice place for gatherings and weddings and that sort of thing. So that's where we ate at.
I remember in high school, one of my friends had a farm. And she would always throw really like the best parties, and they'd always be in the barn. That's when anyone says barn, I immediately think of these you know monster parties in high school.
Maybe it's the same sort of thing. Maybe we should have a listener party at the end of the season.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
You can bring your listeners. You can bring your dog, and we'll have a good party.
That'd be fantastic.
All right, well, Daniel, let's get to it. Let's talk about week six. Week five was certainly an interesting week with that Thanksgiving day break and those two huge games, slate of games around that. Week six is a much more normal week. There's actually fewer games than just in the NBA than there normally are. There's only 15 teams that have four games. Usually it's, 20 or 22 or 24. So it's a smaller schedule this week. You might have a harder time filling up your lineup than you do most weeks. And in particular, there are three teams that have two games. So what I wanted to do is give our weekly, our listeners who play in weekly lock leagues, where you can only set your lineup once a week, I wanted to give them a little bit of content here. So we want to talk about who to play, who you would lock into your weekly lineup leagues from Portland, from Indiana, and from Phoenix. So first of all, starting with Portland, I think there's really only two guys that you would consider. Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. I don't think anybody else on that team plays enough minutes to be considered.
I mean,
those two, Daniel, who would you think you'd want to play or sit?
Between Dame and CJ?
Yeah.
I'm playing both those guys.
You would, even with only two games, you would put both those guys in your
way. Yeah. I mean, both those guys, I mean, they're too many minutes and the usage rate's too high and there's just too many shot attempts. So yeah, I mean, those are the two guys I would play. And I would say, I mean, the guy that's who I would strongly, I mean, I'd have to consider is Mason Plumlee, man. If you look at his numbers, he's consistently like hitting the 30 minutes now, and he's putting up some pretty nice stats, pretty consistent stats. So for two games, maybe not, but give him a look though.
Yeah, just to give our listeners a baseline of kind of what he's been doing the last week or 2 weeks. Last seven games, he's averaged 28 minutes. He's gets 10.5 points, 8.7 rebounds, and probably as important as anything, he gets 5 assists per game.
Yep.
He doesn't do a whole lot in the steals and blocks categories. You know, so obviously in a normal week is pretty valuable. I would actually play Damian Lillard almost like you said, obviously, but I'm not sure I would play CJ McCollum. Obviously, I think that's a guy you're going to consider and compare against some people who play four game slates. And I think he very well could end up on the bench. And I don't think Mason Plumlee would end up in any of my weekly lock leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I guess do we know who are the two games Portland's against? I mean, that may ultimately sway my decision too. If they're playing two teams that are going at a really slow pace, you know, like a Utah and Memphis, then maybe not. But if they're playing, you know, Phoenix and who's on a team with faster pace, Phoenix and
Golden State,
yeah, something like that. Then he'd be. Well, probably
so. Phoenix or excuse me, Portland plays Indiana and Miami.
All right, so you have one. Indiana's they're about I think 10th in the league in pace, and Miami is almost dead last. So maybe you can sit him out this week. I don't want any part of Miami. That's so slow. It's nasty games.
Yeah, so I think Lillard, you're almost definitely playing, and I'm not sure. I guess CJ and Plumlee would be the other guys you would consider. I don't think I would play either of those two unless you really had no other options.
And I'm gonna say this, you know, Dame Judy Dench Lillard, he's been I don't care what anyone says, he has been subpar. Like I was expecting a lot more from that guy
in general this season.
Yes, especially the last couple of weeks. Still play him this week, but I just wanted to put that out there.
I think you're being a little hard on Lillard.
Maybe.
It feels like you've maybe lost some money or something.
Maybe, but still.
I'm just pulling up his averages to make sure. Man, he had a 40-point game two games ago.
Yeah, that was the one good game he had. The rest have all been kind of subpar for him.
This season he's averaging 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2.6 three-pointers. He's shooting 47% from the field and 90% from the free throw line. He's been a top 10 player this season.
Well, he's been great, but I'm saying he started off the year really great. And then from about November 15th until he had about a week and a half stretch where he was subpar. But yeah. Other than that, yeah, no, he's been great. We can move on. I just wanted to note it for the record that, yeah.
That just feels like maybe you lost some money on a guy. And
yes, that may be the case. I already said that. Moving on.
All right, let's talk about Indiana. So they don't have an obvious – well, outside of Paul George, who is going to miss at least one of those games. So he is a player you almost can't play in a standard league if you have a weekly lineup lock. He's scheduled to miss at least one more game. We don't know if that'll be it, so he may miss both games next week. So I don't think he can play Paul George. So in Paul George's absence, do you feel like either – you know, the guys that I thought may be worth playing would be Teague, Miles Turner, or Thaddeus Young? Are there any of those three guys you feel like will step up enough in George's absence to be worth playing with only two games?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a large enough sample size now because PG-13, he's missed, I don't know if it's 5-6 games now. Jeff Teague's usage rate goes through the roof when Paul George is out. I know mm-hmm. Teague struggled a little bit on Sunday night. Is that the day we're taping this? Yeah, so he struggled tonight on Sunday. But he still had a nice game, and then he had like 11 assists versus the dreadful Clippers. So Teague is a must play whenever ever Paul George is out.
I agree with that. I would play Teague. I would be comfortable getting Teague in my lineups in a weekly lock league.
Teague is a must. Turner and I would go Turner more. I'd be more inclined to play him over Thad Young. Thad Young has just been okay, but the problem is his usage rate doesn't really go. Change that much without Paul George, so I'm not too enthused to play Thaddeus Young on a two game week. Miles Turner though, he does get more touches. He's been more active. They tend to give him some more minutes as long as he can stay out of foul trouble. So Turner would be a guy I probably would play, just because he can help you out in a lot of different categories too.
Yeah, that's what it would come down to with me. So I would play Teague. Turner, I think, is a category where he's good at in some rare categories. Like He can get you three-pointers and blocks, which not a lot of guys can do. So I would look at the matchup, and if you need those categories, I would play Turner. But I don't think you have to play him. And I would probably – I can't really envision a scenario where I'm playing a two-game locking Thaddeus Young into my lineup with only two games.
Yeah, after watching him play tonight, I don't even want a three-game week with Thaddeus Young. That guy, he
4-0, huh?
He looks so disinterested some games. It's just – and he goes like quarters without touching the ball. It's pretty it can be frustrating watching him play.
All right, let's talk about the last team that has two games. That would be Phoenix. I think the relevant guys there are Bledsoe and Devin Booker. What's your take on those two?
Yeah, Bledsoe and Booker are must. Dear God, if you talk about one-trick ponies, talk about gunners. I mean, Devin Booker, this guy gets the ball, and he will, if you're wide open, Brandon Knight screams at him. I can through my TV screen, I hear Brandon Knight yelling for him to pass, and he will not. He's just gunning up shots at a rate that I haven't seen from a guy who's like 20 years old. Like reminds me of like a Kobe when Kobe was 20 and getting in games. Booker, I mean, he's good though. Granted, he's been playing really well. I think he put up over 30 actual points on Sunday. So, and Bledsoe's had a really good week too. Those guys are must plays in my opinion, even on two games. No one else from Phoenix you should touch.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I actually don't think, I mean, again, if you are really feeling pinched in the points or three-pointer category, you might think about Booker, but you have to kind of conceptualize that as well. So with two games, he might only get you, 35 to 45 points is probably the most likely range. And check your waiver wire, and if there's a guy that can get you 12 points a game but is going to play four games next week, he's probably going to outpace – he's probably going to outpace Booker. So I think I'd play Bledsoe. I don't think I'd be thrilled if I had to put Booker in my lineup. Obviously, it's going to depend on the choices that you have on your waiver wire. But my guess is in my leagues where I have those players, I would play Bledsoe and I would not play Booker.
Yeah, I can see your point with Booker. I would be inclined to play him, especially after watching what he's done. Just every time I watch Phoenix play, I'm always just shocked at how many – shot attempts he gets each game, and the minutes are there too. I mean everything is a plus for him right now.
Yep, totally agree. All right, let's switch over to daily moves leagues this week. We want to get you started off on the right foot. So important to know that on Monday and Tuesday there are two teams that have back to backs. So that would be the Utah Jazz and the Charlotte Hornets. I took a look at the Jazz players who are owned in less than half of Yahoo leagues. These are guys that might want to consider picking up. They're going to get as many games between Monday and Tuesday as Lillard and McCollum and those Phoenix guys are going to get all week. So, especially if you have daily limit or weekly limits on your daily moves, these are good guys to pick up and try to stream at the beginning of the week. So with the Jazz, the two guys that stood out are Trey Lyles and Joe Johnson as guys that you could pick up who are both playing at least 24 minutes per game generally. Of course, Lyles is only playing until that many minutes until Derek Favors gets back, but there's no indication that Favors is getting back in the immediate future before Monday and Tuesday's game. So I'd be pretty happy picking up Lyles or Johnson. Are either of those guys intriguing to you?
I like guys with a pulse, so I will not play Joe Johnson.
Oh, that's not very nice.
He's like, you know, he's been a disaster though for the most part. I know he started off the season, I think, okay. But I don't think I can't envision me. I just can't do it. I can't do Joe Johnson. You know, best case scenario, what's he going to get? 24 minutes a night.
Yeah.
You know, and
so this is what I would expect from him. That's a good question. So I would expect in those Monday, Tuesday, you probably get 46 to 48 minutes of playing time. You're probably going to get 15 to 20 points, 2 3-pointers, 6 to 8 to 9 rebounds, 3 or 4 or 5 assists and a steal or something. Which if you looked at it per game is actually pretty crappy. He's not a guy that you would consider picking up, but when you double it up like that and you consider that no other teams are playing back-to-back games, you're probably not going to be able to pick anybody else up that plays Monday or Tuesday that's going to get you 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2 3-pointers, 4 assists, and a steal.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, you know, I guess you can. I mean, I would still probably rather prefer to, you know, most of my leagues, you know, you can only make like four moves a week. Yeah. I like to wait in the week and see what I'm going to need like later on. So to like throw one away to get that kind of production from a Joe Johnson, you know, while it may be beneficial, I would tend to kind of, you know, hold off. If it's a move where you can make as many moves, you know, if it's a league where you can make as many moves as you want, then go ahead.
See, actually, I would disagree with that because I would say the only reason you're picking up Joe Johnson is because you have some sort of restriction that makes it beneficial to do a back-to-back. And I guess the other thing to think about with Joe Johnson is he's old enough. My goodness, how old is he? He's twice as old as Trey Lyles.
He's got to be 35.
He's got to be like 38, doesn't he? Oh, my goodness. He's only 35?
Yeah, I think he was only a year. I think he was like a year older than D Wade. So I remember when he joined Miami, they were like the, you know, the oldest.
Oh my goodness!
Their combined age was like, you know, almost 70.
Maybe he was 45 years old.
I mean, he's been. It seems like he's been around that long. So yeah, and with the way he moves and how slow he is. And
well,
with,
I guess with, the thing you would worry about is if he's going to actually play in both.
He should play because he's not getting. You know, he doesn't play enough minutes where you got to be too concerned about that.
Yeah, but he's just old. Of the two, would you prefer Lyles? I would probably prefer Lyles.
Yeah, I mean, Lyles is the one guy that I would go with. I mean, he's capable, you know, of doing a lot of different things on the stat sheet. His minutes, I still get a little nervous because his minutes can waver from game to game. You know, 27 and 15 are the last two. I think 15 is about his floor, though, in 27 minutes. You know, he's had games where he gets in, like, the low 30s, but he's capable of giving you points, rebounds. He can get you, you know, occasionally he doesn't really get you blocks, but he can occasionally get you a steal, you know, and a couple assists. So he's, I think Lyles is a fine play to stream.
Yeah, I like that one. So my approach, it seems like your approach is generally save all your pickups to the end of the week. Is that?
If I only, like most of my leagues, I only get four.
Yeah,
so I'd
three
like,
or four.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to use one early in the week unless I know it's going to be, you know, a beneficial move. So like a Joe Johnson, that would be hard for me to do.
See, what I like to do is I usually like to save, I don't know, a couple of moves for the weekend, but I'll try to split up the rest. So I'll save however many I want to have for the weekend. Again, usually probably 2 to 3, depending. You know, some leagues have seven pickup limits. Some leagues yeah. have four. So if it's four, then I do like I save two. If it's seven, I save like three for the weekend. But I'll kind of space those other ones out throughout the beginning of part of the weeks, and I'll try to pick up the back-to-backs when I don't have a full roster. So I always try to hit the Monday, Tuesday back-to-back with one of the players. And so I think that's where you get a good opportunity with Lyles or Joe Johnson. It's not pretty, but it's a good way to try to get a leg up on your competitor.
Yep.
All right. The other team that has a back-to-back, Daniel, is Charlotte. They've got several interesting players to talk about. And actually one of our listeners asked the question about Charlotte's rotation and how it's changed and to see if anything's relevant from that change.
We could do a whole show. We could do a whole show on Charlotte.
Yeah. I want to get into this a little bit, but first we want to take a little break here and hear from one of our sponsors, one of our new sponsors that we mentioned at the beginning of the episode here, which is Draft.
That's right, Mark. We already know you love fantasy. So we know you love playing fantasy. So we know you'll love playing fantasy on the draft on the app Draft. Draft's a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. It lasts for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete. On Draft, it's draft day every day. On Draft, you can play for free, or better yet, you can play for money. I like to play for money, Mark, as you know. And get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. Before the show, me and Mark Roberts did a head-to-head draft on the app. It was really cool. I shall win tomorrow because I got Westbrook with my first pick. Of course, Mark with his second pick took his favorite player in the world, Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's not true. I took Curry and Durant.
You took Towns too, though, right?
I did. And then in the so what would it be? So you're free.
Yeah,
what round it is, but you made one player, you picked one player, I picked two players, you picked two players, and then my second set of two players, I picked Karl-Anthony Towns.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and just so you guys know, it's the draft's really cool because I mean it goes so fast because you're only drafting five players. It's two guards, two forwards, and a center. So it's really fast. It's really cool. You know, so yeah, Mark did have Durant. So it's going to be Westbrook and Durant going a fierce rivalry tomorrow in our draft contest. And then after the show, me and Mark are going to do another one, and then I'm probably going to jump in on some other competitions too. It's just it's cool. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Because I mean, you know, I mean, when me and you are playing fantasy, like season long, the draft is one of the best parts.
That's right.
Might be the best part.
Absolutely, I think so. And it's fun to you can just sit out and build players. And what we kind of realized is, like, there's a lot more. And this sounds obvious, but like, there's different strategy you would take if you're playing with. You can do drafts with like 6 or 10 players. Or you can do a head-to-head draft. And your head-to-head draft is going to be much different than you if you do all of those players. Like, I'm not sure that it was necessarily you just take the best player available. Like, maybe if you look at the centers and you decide the best center is so much better than the second-best center, you take them regardless of who's projected to do the score the most points overall.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a...
It's got some interesting wrinkles to it, and you don't have to really worry about the DFS salaries with it, which is nice.
Yeah, no, it's really easy. So you guys should definitely join me and Mark. Download Draft, the app Draft now. Really easy to find. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it comes up. It's either the first or second thing that comes up. So for me, DraftKings came up first, and then Draft was second. So yep. You know, click on that second one. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD. That's DFB Pod. When you download, and you'll get 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code DFBP. No, DFB. Oh, man, I'm bad at saying the letters. DFBPOD. There you go, Mark.
And I'll just – they didn't tell me to say this, but one thing I will just say to plug –
They didn't tell us to say any of that. We just made that up.
That's not true. Some of that they told us to say. What's kind of cool. So with DFS, a lot of times what you end up doing is you try to focus on who's the best value, which is fun. I actually like that part of it. But it's also like this kind of shifts the focus on back to like just who's going to be best that night. Like you don't have to worry about like trying to make sure how's the player going to do relative to their value? You're just literally trying to get the most amount of points. I don't know. Maybe it's not that big of a distinction, but like, as I was deciding who to pick, I didn't have to be like, well, they're overpriced or they're underpriced. It was just like, no, I think Durant's going to have the second most points. So
yeah. None of that thinking about, is he going to pay off value
plays? Yeah. Which is fun. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not slamming that kind of stuff, but it's nice. It was nice to kind of just take a break from that and be like, no, I just really have to literally worry who are the best players.
Now our listeners know, Mark, that that's why you hate DFS. And that's why you never joined the DFS shows. They figured you out
there. Yeah. There are a few things I would change about DraftKings and FanDuel if I could, but we'll save that for a different day. All right. Let's get into some of our listener questions. Let's start with the Charlotte rotation. So, and let's kind of try to shoehorn that into who do we think we could pick up on? Who could we pick up to play in those back to backs on the Monday, Tuesday back to back from Charlotte? I'm trying to pull up right now. I'm just pulling up Charlotte's last box score when they played New York. I believe it was Saturday night.
Well, when we're talking about Charlotte. Would be talking about injuries because that's what's opened this up in the last couple of days.
Right.
So Marvin Williams would be for me the first guy.
Hyperextended left knee.
Right.
He's out probably about a couple of weeks. I think is the expectation, maybe a week at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that last time, I think he's going to be reevaluated in like a week, but at least a week he's going to be gone. So for this week, first of all, this should have been a guy.
Batum sat out on Saturday. Did you want to go dive into Marvin Williams?
That's okay. No, you're right. Let's go through all the injuries for them.
And then Batum sat out on Saturday, but he's probable for their next game.
Right.
So he should play. And Bellinelli is questionable for their next game, just as an FYI. hamstring injury. All right.
So the first guy that comes to mind, and this guy probably should have been on your radar anyway, and that's Frank Kaminsky. Was actually, I mean, I guess there's two guys. I mean, the other is
Tank.
The other is Zeller, but let's do Kaminsky first.
Okay.
He's like
And just to let everybody know, their starting lineup was Walker, Jeremy Land, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Frank Kaminsky, and Cody Zeller. So both of those guys did start.
The thing about Kaminsky, he's been sneaky good. The last like 2 to 3 weeks, if not, I mean, if not more than that. I think he's worth it. He's worth picking up. He's locked in right now. He's locked into like the last two games. He's been getting 35 and 40 minutes. He's got three straight games of over 30 minutes. I think 30 minutes right now is like his floor.
His last 7 games, he's averaged 30 minutes per game, 15 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3 assists.
Yep. He hasn't been shooting that well the last few games, but he's, I mean, like Mark said, with those numbers, those are numbers. I think he's relevant to be owned right now. You know, until those minutes go down. I mean, if he's getting 30 plus minutes, I think he's worth owning.
Yeah, and here's what I really like about Zeller is,
you mean Kaminsky?
I'm sorry, you're right, Kaminsky. So he's a great, because he's center eligible in pretty much every league, but he doesn't put up a stat line like a traditional center.
No.
So if you've got a guard heavy punt strategy where maybe you don't care about blocks, or you don't care about field goal percentage, or you don't care about rebounds, like, he's so helpful to put in there. I've got a team where I've been playing him at center, and he puts up a lot of points. He puts up a lot of three pointers. I don't worry about his low field goal percentage. He even gets some assists. He's been averaging 3.3 assists for the last 2 weeks. So he's going to be able to help you in those category, in those guard categories, more than a lot of centers will. So it's one thing to even just look at his line and be like, that's productive. But when you start fitting it to some guard heavy punt strategies, he becomes even more valuable.
Yeah, man. He takes between like three and eight three pointers a game right now.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, I would not be surprised if, even when Marvin Williams comes back, if, you know, Frank Kaminsky's minutes have been going up, Marvin's been struggling, those minutes have been coming down. If Frank, you know, overtakes him at some point. So like, this could be a guy you end up owning the whole year, quite honestly.
I agree with that. And again, I think it's, you know, obviously if you went the other way on your punt strategy and you're looking for big guy stats, he's going to be still pretty useless to you. But for those of us that do guard heavy punt strategies, I think he's, even if he plays a few less minutes, he's still going to be as valuable or more valuable than a lot of other traditionally good centers.
Yep.
All right. What do you want to, what about Zeller?
So, I mean,
speaking, you know, of traditional center category.
First of all, I got to say my plug for, I like the Plumleys over the Zellers. You know, there's, I think there's, but that may be because there's like seven additional Plumleys. There's so many Plumleys, dude.
There's a lot of Zellers too, isn't there? There's at least 3 Zellers.
I think there's 4 Plumleys, right?
I don't know. How many
like Plumleys? Two more just enrolled at Duke University. Every day another one.
I feel like we're getting close to a Christmas song here.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I just want to, I think we've talked about this before. I just want to see, or in one of the shows, I want to see just the Plumleys versus Zellers. Like, that should be like a televised game.
What about the Lopezes?
Yeah, you can throw them in too. But there's only 2 of them, right?
That's what I'm saying. There's got to be a Christmas song. You get the 4 Plumleys and the 3 Zellers and the 2 Lopezes. That seems like a Christmas song in there.
Yeah, no. I agree. So Zeller, so
Cody Zeller, last 4 games, he's averaged 28 minutes, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1.5 blocks, shooting 67% from the field and 60% from the free throw line. So really wasn't kidding when I said he's more of your traditional center, big guy categories.
Yeah. So the issue here, I mean, the last 2 games, he's played great. The problem with Zeller is, and this is the kind of the similar problem where, I'm getting all the podcasts confused, Mark. I don't know if me and you talked about this. I talked about this with someone else. So a lot of teams don't play traditional centers now. So right. When other teams – and you can play Frank Kaminsky at the 5. So when other teams go smaller, you know, they like the Hornets just will pull Zeller off the court. So the minutes aren't going to be as great as Kaminsky's. The minutes – I mean, the minutes could fluctuate for anywhere – I mean – I would say they're going to be around 24 a game while he's starting. But still, in those 24 minutes, he does pretty well with them lately. So, you know, I'm fine with streaming him. That was the question, right? Was it streaming or picking up?
Well, he's just saying, you know, so we're kind of answering two questions is who do we want to with four games this week? Or
right.
Sorry, back up. With a back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday, which of these guys would you be okay using one of your daily moves on? And so far, I'm actually okay with both of them, with Kaminsky and Zeller. And I think it totally depends on what type of team and categories you want. Like, I don't think one is better than the – in a vacuum, I guess I'd probably rather have Kaminsky. But I think it's going to be so dependent on the categories you're trying to be good at. Like, if you want blocks and rebounds and field goal percentage, you're going to go with Zeller. If you want three-pointers and points and assists, you're probably going to go with Kaminsky.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. And I think both of these guys are certainly in play this week.
Let me ask you about one more guy that you would think about maybe streaming, and it's for specifically just one category.
Ellinelli?
Roy Hibbert.
Oh, Roy. Wow. Yeah.
Well, with blocks, you know, sometimes it's good to pay attention to him.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. He came in the game, this is about a week or two ago, and I was watching a Charlotte game, and I was like, oh my God, Hibbert's still in the league.
that's from somebody who hosts a daily basketball podcast for.
And then I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, I knew he was, you know, he was, because he was starting at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
but I think he just, you know, I removed him from my memory because so many horrible memories. I mean,
He had two blocks in Saturday's game. I think there's a chance, like, if you could pick him up, he'd have three blocks between the two.
He's going to get between 14 and 20 minutes, like his ceiling. So, I mean, yeah. You know, if you are in dire need of, like, you know, three or four blocks, like, yeah. Fine. Otherwise,
But even in that case, you just go with Zeller. You might get one less block out of Zeller, but you're going to get so much of everything.
I might even go with Kaminsky, quite honestly. Yeah, I mean, even though, you know, Kaminsky can jump about as high as, you know, my dog can. My dog can't jump very high.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into another listener question. This one is from Vats.
I can't believe with the third Hornet, you could have went Bellinelli. You could have went Lamb. You went Roy Hibbert.
fair question. Is there any of those other guys you want to talk about?
Well, if you need threes, yeah. Bellinelli, man. He's banged up. So, but if he wasn't, he's been super hot lately. He's been a guy I've actually played in DFS a couple nights. I mean, like when he's been getting a lot of minutes and he's been producing. And like when Charlotte, I'm telling you, Charlotte's going small a lot now. They can play Frank at the five. They can play Bellinelli at the three or the four. They've been throwing out some really weird rotations lately.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, the only reason I didn't bring up Bellinelli, is because of that hamstring injury where he's questionable.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Makes me worried. Even if you find out he's playing on Monday, like, does he end up sitting on Tuesday? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I had originally had MKG listed as a possibility to pick up, but he's crossed the 50% threshold since last time I looked. He's over 50% owned. I think that's it. That's really all the guys that I would consider.
Maybe. Yeah, if it's a shame. If Batum was out, Lamb would be a guy I would pounce on. But since Batum, because Lamb was tremendous yesterday, but with Batum,
20 rebounds.
17 rebounds.
17 rebounds. That's insane. Seven,
it was unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe it was every – and it was one of those things where no matter where he was on the court, the ball just would fall into his hands, like, for a rebound. It was just remarkable. Yeah. So, but if he – he shot the ball really well too. But I think with Batum back, his minutes obviously are going to go way down.
All right. Next question is from – I'm probably not pronouncing any of these right, but Vatsabel, he says, TJ Warren worth a hold in a 12 team roto league.
Yeah.
Here's the latest report I have looking at Basketball Monster for our injury news. With his head injury, he's missed the last three games. He told the media that he could return to basketball activities in a couple of weeks. So, you know, you have to kind of extrapolate that out. If he's not going to return to basketball activities for 2 weeks, even if that's 2 weeks minimum, then he's not in shape because he can't really work out until he gets cleared. You know, that's probably another week or two. So I guess that's a long way of saying, if you have an injury spot, I think he's worth holding on to. He's been great this season. in 32 minutes a game, he's averaged 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals on 46% shooting. So I don't think he's a marginal player, but if you don't have an injury spot, I don't think he's good enough that you have to hold on to him, knowing that he probably won't play for another 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird because I don't remember now if his last – I remember the last his last two games before he – was he already dealing with this injury? Because the last two games, he really struggled for Phoenix that he did play. And I know they were getting guys back, so his minutes – like I wasn't
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he played 14 minutes a game those last two games.
Yeah, he played 9 minutes and 18, and well, he had like 2 points and 8 points. You know, and I know they were getting
– it's hard to pull all these things apart, but he was out – He was kind of dealing with like an illness is what that was reported as.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're right. But,
you know, that might have been a hedge injury, and like they didn't know whether to call it a hedge injury or an illness. So I guess I'm not totally sure, but it was reported as an illness.
Yeah. But I mean, like you said, he was playing great before that those two games and whatever illness, you know, his head or whatever got affected. So, yeah. But I'm with you. If 2 weeks, if you don't have an injury spot, it's
yeah.
I guess it would depend if you're in first, you're going to coast to the playoffs, maybe hold on to him. But if you can't afford that, then just let him go, I guess.
It's going to be tough. If you're in a pretty active league, it'll be tough to have a guy who's doing nothing for you for that long. Hopefully you have an injury spot though, because it's dumb to play without injury spots. All right. Next question is from our friend Bort. He's at the Twitter handle at my name is Bort2. He says, is Nurkic going to finish in the top 100 this season? So let's set this up by saying here's where Nurkic has been so far. On a per-game basis, he's playing 22 minutes a game, averaging 10 points, 8 rebounds, a half a steal, and 1 block per game on 48% shooting, 51% from the free throw line. And that's been good for about 168th in the rankings. So in the last 2 weeks, he's basically played those same amount of minutes. I think you can expect maybe 22 to 24 minutes a game the rest of the season and a similar stat line to what he's put up. I don't think that gets him into the top 100 in large part because of his free throw percentage. So if you don't care about that, I think he might get closer to 100, but, certainly, if you care about free throw percentage, I think he's going to have a hard time cracking the top 100 with that level of playing time. What say you, Daniel?
You know, I'm with you. He's not going to make it. One reason is his minutes. I mean, now that they finally realized, you know, it's Nurkic, Jokic, only one of them could be on the court at the same time. Nurkic is going to end up not even playing 24 minutes a night. You know, if he plays, whenever he plays over 24 minutes, I do a little dance in my you know, my living room. It's you know, but it's going to be hit or miss.
I didn't realize you were rooting for Nurkic to get more minutes.
Yeah, I like. Yeah,
how
I don't know.
That? Why. Hold your eyes at me whenever I said Nurkic was. Acceptable.
Well, no, I went like I don't know why. Like I felt like at some point we had to pick our boy here. We either had to be a Nurkic fan or a Jokic. We can't like both. Mark, we have to choose. Okay. And everyone else loves Jokic. I'm pulling for Nurkic. Even though after watching them play, Jokic, I think, is a better player. And that's my second reason why I think he won't finish in the top – second reason he won't finish in the top 100. Since they finally – you know, since Mike Malone got rid of playing them at the same time, Jokic has stepped up his game. So, you know, Mike Malone just has to give Jokic minutes, and that comes at Nurkic's expense. And so, therefore, I think he's going to – he'll have his nights where he's okay, you know, and he puts up a decent line. But it's going to be there's going to be nights where he just puts up an absolute dud for you as well. So I think at the end of the year, he'll be a little outside that top 100.
All right, let's get to our next one from Anthony Cosa. He says, Josh Richardson or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in 12-team head-to-head, which I think we're assuming means we're not going to look at the percentages. So let's just do a little rundown. We talked about MKG a little bit earlier. Let's give you some numbers on Josh Richardson right now. He is actually available in a lot of Yahoo leagues, so he may be a guy who's interesting. So far this season, he's played 28 minutes per game. He's getting you 11 points, almost 2 3-pointers, so that's where a lot of his value is coming from. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 0.8 steals and 0.6 blocks on 39% shooting. But once again, we said we're not paying too close of attention to that shooting percentage. What are your thoughts on Kidd Gilchrist and Richardson?
I don't know, man. Like, I've been so gung-ho. I've been so gung-ho on Josh Richardson just because I think he's got a ton of talent. And I think he's going to be a huge piece for the Heat going forward. And I think Dragic's days are numbered there. It's just a matter of when they get rid of him.
Really? That's interesting. I guess because you feel like they're moving towards younger players and he's not.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Dragic wants no part of being on the team. He didn't sign up to be on a lottery team. You know, he wants – so he, you know, he when he joined, he was with Wade and Bosch, you know? Yeah. Now he's with a bunch of babies, a bunch of like 20, 21-year-olds. So, you know, and then they traded away his brother to make matters worse. But I once Dragic leaves – and Dragic's been hurt the last few games. That's why Richardson's got some more minutes. But I just don't know. I don't know I'm not objective when it comes to Josh Richardson, man. Like, I think he should be owned because I think the upside is there. But
I guess if you were making a case for him, you would say, hey, he's not a 39% shooter. Last year he shot 45%.
He's been shooting so bad.
So if it just
and he's getting a little Mark, bit. Mark, he's getting wide open looks. I mean, he's just missing.
Yeah. Which again, you could take a pessimistic look on that or an optimistic look, but your optimistic look says, you know, he's shooting 39%. He shouldn't shoot 39%. Even if he comes up to last season where he shot 45% as a rookie, he's going to be in the 12 to 15, 16 point range with a bunch of 3-pointers. The worry for me actually, and this was the case last year, is he doesn't get a lot of steals. Like, you don't think
of him. Which is super bizarre because he's really athletic and he's a great lockdown defender.
You don't think of him like this, but his stat profile is sort of like Devin Booker almost, where his upside categories are points and 3-pointers. And that's kind of where he produced last season. He's not going to get a lot of assists or rebounds. He's not going to get you much on the defensive categories, which is really strange for the type of player he is, but it comes down to just points and 3-pointers. I think you're looking at like a Devin Booker light. Kidd Gilchrist, I don't think has much upside at all. He's sort of similarly bizarre in the fact that he's such a good defender. He's probably one of the best defenders in the league, but it doesn't bear out in his fantasy stats. I don't think he's ever averaged more than a steal or more than a block per game. And he just doesn't score enough. I would go Richardson based on the upside.
I think between these two, there's no – it's not even a comparison for me. Like, I would go Richardson. I mean, I'm with you on Kidd Gilchrist. I mean, the problem is just the offensive stats are not there, and as much as you would hope the defensive stats are, they're not even there either. A no for me on him. Richardson, I think he's fine. I'm not as high on him as I was maybe, say, a week or two ago. But he's – the upside is clearly there. When Dragic's there, he's going to get 26 minutes – the last two games with Dragic out have been disappointing. I wanted him to pick it up. The problem why he can't is because Coach Spo treats Deion Waiters like he's Dwayne Wade. I mean, if you watch Waiters play, like Spo is known for discipline, like defense. Like Waiters gets away with murder out there. He does like the stupidest things on the court. He has no basketball IQ. He's just gunning the ball. But the problem is Miami is so desperate for scoring. They have to play Waiters. Like Waiters, and Waiters been shooting really well and scoring. So, I've been surprised. One thing I have been surprised, Waiters has been getting some assists too. And he's handling the ball a lot. So, like, and his usage rate is through the roof. So, he's killed a lot of the other Heat guards' value. And Tyler Johnson has been pretty good too. But that's one reason why Richardson's minutes haven't been and his stats haven't been that great. I mean, Deion Waiters is just dominating that ball right now.
Yeah,
which I'm shocked at that I'm saying that.
All right, let's get to another question here. I still can't pronounce this guy, the center on Toronto whose first name is Lucas. Do you know how to pronounce his last name? Starts with an N?
Okay. Yeah, no idea. I say Nog, but that's just kind of how it's spelled. So I'm sure that's not right.
Asking about deep leagues, is he worth owning in deep leagues? So here's the deal with Lucas. He had a couple of good games. When was it Valanciunas was out a couple of weeks ago?
Yep.
Valanciunas was out. He played between 25 and 28 minutes. He got a bunch of rebounds and a few points during those games. Since Valanciunas has returned, he hasn't played more than 18 minutes, and he hasn't got more than, oh gosh, in the last five games, he's got three rebounds total and 2 points total. He's blocked a few shots. So the question actually was, is he worth owning for blocks alone? In a super deep league, he might be. So he's going to get you literally nothing else. The last 2 weeks, he's averaged 0.3 points, two rebounds, and 1.5 blocks. So close to elite level production in blocks in only 12 minutes per game, but nothing else. So what I would say is if you have like a really deep bench where it's not a problem to pick a guy up and you can stream him only on the light games, I think it's probably worth it. Otherwise, he can't be that bad in the other categories and play for your team.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I'm just trying to figure out I'm trying to Google how to pronounce Nog, and I'm getting like is it Swedish? I don't know what it is. I'm getting all kinds of weird things. Yeah, I have nothing to add.
All right, let's move on to the next question. Ask about Rubio, Nurkic, and Richardson. We already discussed Nurkic and Richardson. This is from Small Ball Rocks, by the way. And we actually got several questions about Rubio, so we're going to kind of lump those together, including is it okay to drop Rubio? Daniel, we discussed Rubio pretty at length last week. Can you give us a short answer? Is it okay to drop Rubio?
No, it's not okay.
All right, we'll move on then. Yeah, we don't have to be that short, but I mean, listen, this is one of the guys who's going to be one of the top five players in assists and steals probably by the end of the season. If not top five, he'll be top 10. You're never going to find a guy like that on the waiver wire.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, presumably you drafted him. You knew that he was going to struggle with points and shooting percentage, but otherwise.
I mean, I get that guy. I get the question, and I get why everyone's so angry about it, because he has looked just dreadful, Mark. I mean, not just shooting bad like he does every year, which he's even shooting worse. He's regressed, if you can even believe that. But I mean, like, even against the Golden State yesterday in a fast-paced game, a perfect. I mean, you think he'd be so well suited for this game? Like, he just looked out of place on the court. I mean, it was embarrassing. I thought, like, I felt embarrassed. I mean, he only got 29 minutes. You know, every other starter got basically 39 minutes. For some reason, Towns got 30, only 34. But still, I mean, so I'm not – I mean, as long as he's in Minnesota, though, he has to be owned. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
here's the counterpoint. So, right, like, if there was a guy on the waiver wire who wasn't named any – like, who you didn't recognize his name, who was averaging 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1.5 steals,
you know, you
would pick up that guy immediately.
I'm with you. I think, you know,
he's just disappointing. He's just not doing what you drafted him for, which is disappointing, but you have to look at it realistically and just say, you know, there's no way anybody like this would be on the waiver wire. It sucks that he's not doing better. You hope that he turns around and gets up to the value, but he's not worth dropping.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know what's the deal here. Like, is he banged up? Like, I didn't expect him to be this bad, but yeah, you got to hold on to him. So
my guess would be injury. You know, he's dealing with that sprained injury, the sprained elbow.
I guess. I mean,
you would think if anything's going to make it not great to shoot, it's going to be an elbow wrist type injury. He struggles with that anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I mean, all of us just before, I mean, do what I do before every Minnesota game, I say a little prayer. Hasn't been working. You know,
you need to get a new prayer. It sounds like
I say, dearest Marco, please come through for me tonight. And it doesn't.
Marco, you pray to Marco Rubio, huh?
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right. Well,
not the senator, not the Florida senator.
Well, anyway, Marco Rubio, I know. All right. From another question from Swaggy PJ93, he says, thoughts on Greg Monroe. Are they showcasing him for a trade? So here's what's going on with Greg Monroe. Against Miami a few weeks ago or a week and a half ago, he got a DNP coach's decision. Next game, he played 2 minutes. Next game, he played 8 minutes. Then all of a sudden, last two games, he's played 19 minutes and 16 minutes, which is not a ton. But he scored 20 points and grabbed 17 rebounds between those two games. He shot well from the field. He shot 8 of 14 from the field. He's got the free throw line a few times. Is Greg Monroe coming back from the dead from a fantasy perspective? Like, is there a chance that they are showcasing this guy enough that he'll become relevant?
I mean, I wish I was smart enough to answer this question. I mean, Jason Kidd keeps saying he's going to play the Bucks bigs on a matchup for matchup basis. He's trying to pull, he's trying to go completely Terry Stotts on us here. You know, play. Today was John Henson who went nuts for them. John Henson put up like 20 points and eight rebounds or something, like, you know, absurd.
How many minutes would Monroe have to get before you feel like you pick him up in a standard?
24. I need 24.
And he's, do you think he's good enough in 24 to give you a lot of value?
That's what I'm saying. Even in 24 minutes, Greg Monroe is borderline. I mean, he's like a, you know, we talked about like a Devin Booker light in Josh Richardson. Yeah. Greg Monroe would be like a Kenneth Faried light. You know, so like that's not very flattering. So I mean, like at 24 minutes, he would like, then you could start thinking, and it's not even, it's just hard to envision him becoming relevant.
All right. Grant at GFish34 asks, is Will
Barton? Let me quickly say this. So John Henson on Sunday, 20 points, 7 boards, 3 blocks, 1 assist, 1 steal in 29 minutes. And he didn't play on Friday. It's just like, that's what I mean with Jason Kidd. I mean,
I don't want any Bucks big guys. I don't want Jason Kidd doing that to me. I don't want him holding my lineups hostage.
Yep.
I'll just pass him all of them. All right. Grant asks, Will Barton or Jamal Murray? Who's going to be more valuable the rest of season?
Ooh, that's a good question. Barton or Jamal Murray?
So let's start with Will Barton here. He recently came back with his ankle injury. He played 3 games. He started all 3 games, but he actually only played 19 minutes, 26 minutes, and then 17 minutes. He scored a combined total of 18 points, and now he is injured again with the same ankle injury. So obviously he's been struggling, but he had a good season last year. Jamal Murray had sort of an interesting season. Let me bring up his stats because I feel like it's worth diving into a little bit. He started the season, I think he scored 2 points in his first 4 games, which included a start where he played 30 minutes one of those games. He scored a total of 2 points. He shot terribly from the field. But he sort of picked it up the last few weeks. I've gotten a lot of questions about him lately. So last week, let's just go the last week, last 4 games, he's averaged 19 points in 28 minutes per game. He's making 3 three-pointers per game, grabbing 5 rebounds, and he's not doing a whole lot for you anywhere else, either in assists or steals or blocks. And I guess what's maybe a little bit heartening to me about this line is he's getting 19 points and 3 three-pointers, but it's not on some crazy percentage. He's only shooting 44% from the field, which makes it seem more sustainable to me. I'm interested to hear what you have to say on this, Daniel, but for me, I would totally go with Murray. You don't know how long Barton's going to be out. Frankly, I'm not convinced that Will Barton is a terribly good NBA player, and I certainly don't think he would stand in the way of a high lottery pick like Jamal Murray, who's performing well. So I think Barton isn't guaranteed minutes the rest of this season.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for me is that there's the two things that come to mind is, first, Mike Malone loves Will Barton. Like, and I don't know why, but he does. The thing that conflicts with that is I was a big fan of Barton last year, but then after the All-Star break, he went into like a big-time slump, and he really wasn't worth owning, I don't think, that second half of the season. He was really bad, man. Like, Gary Harris was so much better. And by the end of the season, I was like, you know, I didn't want any part of Barton. So,
and I think some people might look at that and be like, wow, he just had a bad last half of the season. I actually look at it the other way and say he had an unnaturally good first part of the season. Like, there's nothing in his previous seasons that suggests the first half of last year is the player who he really is. I think it's more the second half player.
I think you're more confident on his deficiencies. I mean, I thought he did have some talent, but I'll say this. I like Murray. Like, what I've seen of him, I've been super impressed with. When he gets minutes, he makes the most of them. You know, like you said, he's a high lottery pick. I would think they got to keep giving him minutes. So I would think I could see Barton getting squeezed out. So if I had to choose, I would go Murray. I wouldn't feel great about it. Cause I just because I've seen too many interviews. Now, granted, coaches lie all the time, but I've seen too many, like, you know, press conferences where Mike Malone just praises Will Barton. I mean, I know they went to him down the stretch against Chicago, for, like, you know, for the, with the winning basket, and then he got fouled by Wade and hit two free throws to help them beat Chicago. But, you know, I still, at this point, I think it's pretty, I think the right move is going Murray.
Yeah. All right. A couple more questions here. This one's from Daniel, but not you. He says, 8-team league, so pretty shallow league. What do I do with Lord Covington?
Oh, Lord Covington. Oh.
8-team league is – so here's what Covington's done this season so far. 28 minutes per game, he's averaging 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, and 1.6 three-pointers. On – get this, 28% from the field.
I'm surprised it's that high. Like he shoots in the Philly game. I duck in my living room. I mean, I don't know where that ball is going to go. I mean, and the Philly fans are booing him when he shoots. Like that's how bad he's been shooting the ball.
Yeah, it's picked up. I guess could you say that in the last week he's now shooting 36%.
Well, it's
the last four games.
No, if you can say that, but that's a misnomer. He had one good game. Yeah. Where he shot the lights out. Every other game he's stunk in terms of shooting. Now he does all that, as me and you have discussed on many other shows. He's really good. I mean, he's an elite in terms of steals.
It's steals that's really carrying him.
Yeah. So that's why I think standard leagues just still gotta own him and just grit your teeth.
Now in an 8-team league, I'm probably fine with dropping him.
Yeah, 8-team league, no way. I just don't you know, you don't deserve that to yourself, Daniel. Like just get rid of him and move on. Not an 8-team league. Yeah.
All right. Do we have time for one more, Daniel? We got one more listener question here.
Sure.
All right. He's wondering, I think this small ball rocks again. I think the same repeat here. So we're 2-for-1 here, I guess. Trade targets for Rubio.
Small ball rocks. I want you to go and rate and review the podcast for us for answering your two questions.
Rubio and Gallinari. He's wondering who would be good trade targets. So probably a good time to remind everybody that on the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com on our website, we have up to the day rankings and projections for the rest of season. So you can go there and you can look up Ricky Rubio and see where I have him projected for the rest of the season. So if I'm looking at 8 category leagues, I've got Ricky Rubio as the 67th best player for the rest of the season, worth about $13. So if you were trying to trade him off, you'd scroll up, look at some of the players above 67 that you might be able to get. Like, you know, if you're going point guard, you might want to look at Schroeder, who's ranked 60th. You might want to look at who you could get for Rubio. What do you think?
Well, the problem here is these are two guys who you're trading at the worst possible times, right?
George Hill might be available. He's been injured a little bit. You might be able to get him. He probably should be a little better than Rubio.
I mean, Mark, the problem here, though, is you're trading these guys at the worst time, right? I mean, yeah. Like, so I would hold. I would hold and wait till they have one or two good games and then try to move them. You know,
I actually think that's really good advice.
I just don't think right now you're going to get pennies on the dollar. I mean, Rubio, I mean, even though as bad as Rubio's been, like he's going to have some games where he gets 12, 13 assists, you know, in the right matchup. And so I would hold because you're not going to get anything close to market value for these guys.
I would actually be trying to acquire both of these guys.
I'm with you.
Better seasons the rest of the way. So if you go the other way on those, you say, hey, Rubio is the 67th best player. Who's ranked below 67 that I would think I could get Rubio for? Let's see here. So like Rondo, for example, might be a good person to trade out for him. He's ranked 85th. You might be able to get a frustrated Rubio owner who's on the verge of dropping him. You might be able to trade Rondo and get Rubio back. What about Sean Kilpatrick, who's been tearing it up?
Yeah, I mean,
he's up to 91 in our rankings.
Yeah, no, he's I mean, they're so – I forgot who's out for them right now. Well, Jeremy Lin's out, and then, but there's a bunch of other people. Hollis Jefferson's out too. So, yeah, I mean, once those guys come back, Kilpatrick is going to take a big dive. This is the time to sell high on that guy. If you own Kilpatrick, try to get rid of him now.
Kilpatrick for Rubio, that might actually work.
If you could pull off that trade, then you deserve some type of medal.
Absolutely. All right, Daniel, that's our questions for today. Anything else you want to talk about before we sign off? Go check out our sponsors. Check out Draft. Use the promo code DFBPOD. Go check out No Halftime. They're both apps. No Halftime's is B-Ball 100. You can get deposit bonuses at both places. And that Draft deposit bonus is worth up to $600. That's pretty good.
Yep, some good stuff. Yeah, and just for me, we're still running the daily Chambers tournament. I know we keep getting more and more listeners who are joining, so that's been a lot of fun. Again, if you guys just want to join, and if you haven't been able to, because it does fill up pretty fast, just send me a tweet, man. I'll send you the link early. Make sure you get in. Just a good time with that. So, tweet me at Daniel A. Green 1.
If you want to do a draft app draft with either of us, I think we'd be up for that. That was
oh yeah, that's right. You can send us challenges.
Yeah, that would be fun. You can look us up on there. We'll tweet out the links to that as well. Otherwise, good luck this week. Week 6, go win your week. Make some money on DFS with Daniel and Kyle this week. And we will talk to you. I will talk to you again on next Monday. And I think you can look forward to hearing from Daniel a lot sooner than that.
We'll be back tomorrow, guys, to make some money in DFS.
All right, everyone. See you later.
There, guys.